So 4 years, 4 year anniversary. And you know what's been wonderful about 2022? We got to celebrate our 2nd year anniversary, our 3rd year anniversary, and our 4 year anniversary, all within the space of 6 months. What a blessing, what a blessing. Now, every time we come to an anniversary, I'm just constantly reminded about the beginnings of this church. And as I said earlier, it surprises me that we still are here. Like, blessed about the church is the strangest church that I've ever been part of. I'll tell you that, okay? You know, just obviously the very start of the church was due to some doctrinal issues that were coming out of my sin in church and different families that were leaving. And, you know, my heart, my goal was just to keep everyone together, to keep everyone in fellowship, to keep everyone motivated and soul winning. And when we started this church, I really did not expect that we would, you know, in my heart, I would, you know, obviously every church, I want to see it continue to the day of Jesus Christ. But really, it was just an extension of what New Life Baptist Church was for us in Queensland. And I wasn't sure how long we would last. Honestly, a church that doesn't have a full-time pastor, a church that's traveling from Queensland, right? You know, on an almost weekly basis. And, you know, I wasn't sure if I'd be able to preach up there and take care of the responsibilities for New Life Baptist Church and be down here, and also just to be a pastor and a leader for this church. And, you know, one thing that I've learned with this church, and look, these are things that I've learned in life anyway, you know, I've been saved since I've been 4 years old, is that church is not really about the pastor. You know, church is not really about you as an individual person. Church is called in the Bible as the body of Christ, okay? It belongs to Jesus. Jesus is our foundation. Jesus is our head. And it's up to Jesus how long this church continues. It's up to Jesus if he wants the church to continue until his return, or it's up to Jesus if he wants it to end earlier, or whatever plans Jesus Christ has with his church. It's all for Christ. It's all done for Jesus Christ. And one thing that you know, that I've seen over my lifetime, over the years, are Christians who faithfully serve in the house of God, Christians who are zealous and excited for the things of God. But sometimes these same Christians lose their heart for the Lord. Sometimes they're backsliding, or they're completely out of church, or just they've lost the interest for the things of God. And this doesn't happen just at a personal level or a family level. This also happens at a pastor level. You know, my very first IFB pastor, who, you know, really taught me key fundamental truths of the Bible, is someone who disgraced himself in the ministry, ended up committing adultery, lost his qualification, of course, as a pastor. And it was very disappointing to me to see a man that I looked up to fail in such a massive way. But it's not just that. You know, many pastors. There are many pastors. There is one very well-known IFB pastor in Queensland, Rockhampton, who did something similar. You know, he would travel to the United States, and he ended up sleeping around with a whole bunch of prostitutes, stealing from the church, stealing church money to commit such horrible sins. It's an Australian pastor I'm talking about, okay? And so, you know, I see failure. I see Christians fail, but then I see some Christians continue. And, you know, when I think about this church, I wasn't expecting it to continue for 4 years now. And you know, hopefully the Lord gives us many more years to come. But one thing that I became very aware of as a Christian is the importance of endurance, of continuing, of remaining steadfast, remaining faithful, continuing for the Lord God. We're there in Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. It says, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The title for the sermon this morning, brethren, is A Race of Endurance. A race of endurance. Brethren, you've been set on this race track. You know, the Lord God, now that you are saved, he's placed you to run this race. And brethren, in order for you to get to the finish line, in order for you to continue running and putting one step forward, one at a time, and not failing and not giving up, is that you would endure. Endurance is such an important part of the Christian life. And it's so easy to fail. It is so easy to backslide. It is so easy to give up on the things of God. And yet there are so many Christians that fail. So many Christians that I've looked up to. So many Christians that have motivated me to get in, you know, walk in a godly Christian life, that I then see fail. And then I'm reminded, and we see great men of the Bible who fail, and I see Christians today who fail. And then I'm reminded that I can fail. And I'm reminded that you can fail and that your family can fail in our walk for the Lord. And so my heart is, great, we've done 4 years. Hey, let's see another 4 years. Hey, let's continue serving the Lord every day that the Lord has given us, because we've got this race to run. It's a race of endurance. So I've got 6 points to help you continue on this race. And you know what? If we want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to endure, it does have to come down to that individual level at the end of the day. Even though Christ is the head, He's the foundation, He gives us everything we need to continue as a church, it does come down to you as an individual. It comes down to you as a family. A church is only as strong as the families that make up that church. And so if we want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to continue to endure, we have to endure ourselves. We have to continue remaining faithful and consistent for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's have a look at, we're going to spend most of our time in Hebrews 12, or at least I should say, it's going to be the foundation of which we are going to build this teaching on. And we are going to turn to some other passages, but if I get you to turn to some other passages, just keep your finger there in Hebrews 12, because that is our main text. But it says in Hebrews 12, verse number 1, let's look at it again. Now, actually, before we read this, Hebrews 11, the previous chapter, is known as the Hall of Faith. Okay, it's got some very well-known saints of the Old Testament that are mentioned there that were faithful to the Lord. I mean, many of you would know about Hebrews 11. It's probably one of those chapters that gets preached on the most in a lot of churches. But some of the names that are mentioned there, I'll just read some to you. It's Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, so even the ladies there, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. Hey, Rahab was a harlot. Rahab was a prostitute. And she's been named there in Hebrews 11 as a woman of great faith. Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel. And he mentions all the prophets. I mean, there are so many names listed in Hebrews 11. And so when we get to Hebrews 12, I want you to think about what is being said at the very beginning there in verse number 1. It says, wherefore, so because of what we just read in verse chapter 11, all these names, wherefore is a conjunction, it's leading on, it's not a new thought, it's continuing the same thought. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses. So brethren, in order for you to continue enduring in this race, number one, you have to remind yourself that you have witnesses cheering you on. Witnesses watching your race as you run this race of endurance for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, who are these witnesses? It was those names that I mentioned to you in Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, they are the witnesses watching you guys run this race. Hey, they ran the race. They got saved and the Lord set them on the racetrack and they were able to accomplish great things for God. And now they've gone to be home in heaven. And they're watching the next generations. They're watching Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They're watching the great churches in this nation that are churches of Christ. And they're cheering us on. Continue running that race. And, this is no different to going to some sporting event or, going to the Olympics or something. When someone's running that race on the racetrack, there are spectators cheering them on. Woo! And you're cheering on your person. You're cheering on your team. If you go to some sporting match, not that it's great to go all the time, but, if you go to one of these things, if you've got a team playing, you're normally cheering on your team. Go team! Or if they score a goal or whatever it is that they're playing, you cheer them on. It's the same thing, brethren. You need to remind yourself, you have witnesses, you have people watching your race, and they're cheering you on. They want you to succeed. They want you to get to the finish line. They want you to endure. And when I think about this, I think about these great men. Noah, the Noahs and the Abrahams, these people that have done great things for God, knowing full well they're cheering us on, it motivates me a little bit. It gets me encouraged. I want to complete the race. I want to endure the same way these great people have as well. Amen. And so just remind yourself, you have witnesses cheering you on. And, one of the things that gets brought up with this teaching is, Pastor, I'm not always running the race though. Sometimes I'm not even running the race. Sometimes I'm actually running backwards, Pastor. Or sometimes, Pastor, I'm not even in the race. I'm actually, far from the Lord. I'm backslidden. What about when I sin? Is Abraham looking at my sins? All these great men in heaven and great ladies in heaven, every time I fail and make mistakes and sin, are they watching me when I fail and commit these sins? I don't know if I want these witnesses watching me. No, but here's the thing you need to understand. They're not watching you when you fail. They're not watching you when you sin. They're watching you as you run the race. Okay? They're cheering you on. And the only way you can run the race is in the new man. Is being in Christ Jesus. Is walking in the Spirit. Brethren, this flesh does not run the race. This flesh wants to quit. This flesh wants to give up. This flesh wants to do everything contrary to God's word. And so we can't run the race in the flesh. If you're in the flesh and you're in sin, they're not watching you in sin. Don't worry about that. They're only watching you when you're in the new man running the race and they're cheering you on. Okay? So when you get to heaven, they're going to be like, man, what a race you ran. You know, like, oh man, but you know full well, man, I made a few mistakes on that way. I made a few mistakes on that journey. And of course, they know that full well because, hey, even though we read some of these great names, they also made big mistakes in life. Okay? And just because you've made mistakes doesn't mean, and you might say, well, I'm not on the race anymore, Pastor. Well, get back on it. All right? Today's a new day. Get back on the race. Start running that race. Get in the new man. Hey, start crucifying that flesh all over again and get back running for the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to endure. We want to run. We want to continue. You know, a race means that we're moving forward. We're getting more mature. We know more of the Bible. We're living more holy. You know, we have a greater love for the Lord God. We have a greater love for our brethren. We have a greater love for lost souls. The more you mature, you know that you're running that race. You're taking one step at a time, moving forward. But not only do we have witnesses that have gone to be in heaven, and brethren, if you pass away, you're going to be in heaven, and you're going to be cheering the next generation on. Okay? If you were to pass away today, you'll be in heaven right now, cheering the rest of us on. You know, keep going, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Keep serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only those that have gone to be in heaven, but also we have witnesses right here in this church. We have brothers and sisters in the Lord who are motivated by your example. Did you know that? Did you know if I was too lazy to get up this morning and I just didn't want to be in the house of God, I wasn't excited, you know, it's going to demoralize the rest of you guys. It's just how it is. You know, we're a body. We come together to serve Christ, but also to provoke one another unto love and good works, okay? And you know what? If people are watching you, you need to understand, your brothers and sisters are watching you, and you're watching them, and we're motivating each other. We're encouraging one another. You know, when we spend time in fellowship, you know, we're telling one another that we love each other, and we want to see each other continue serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So knowing that, I want you to think about what kind of example are you? You know, what kind of example are you to the brethren? Do you motivate the brethren? Do you encourage the brethren? Or maybe you're a discouragement. I'm not sure. Okay? I mean, consider your life. If you're someone that finds church attendance important and, you know, you drop the ball in that area, you're going to discourage others from thinking that church attendance is important. You know, if you think soul winning is important, but you drop the ball in that area, you're communicating that that's not such an important area and it can bring people to be not motivated to do the same kind of works. You know, we all are examples to one another. And of course, as a pastor, I'm an example to you as well. Okay? So I want you to consider that. You have witnesses, but you've also got witnesses on this earth. You've got this church. You've got other brothers and sisters in the Lord that may not be part of this church, but they're motivated. They're encouraged when they see us do great works for God. So brethren, point number one is you have witnesses cheering you on. Remind yourself of that. There are people cheering you on, watching you. They want to see you run that race. They want to see you succeed. So that's point number one. To run that race of endurance is that you remind yourself that you have witnesses cheering you on. All right, the next thing that we see there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, after it says, with so great a cloud of witnesses, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So if we're going to run this race, brethren, we have to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Notice there are two things that we need to set aside, okay? It's not just sin, but it's every weight. You see, there are things that we do in our life that are not sinful in of themselves, but they can become distractions from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so point number two, brethren, is that you need to overcome distractions. You need to overcome distractions. When you're running the race, your focus should be the finish line. Right? You can't be watching what's happening on the side. Hey, you know what? Don't even be watching what others are doing. This is a race that you're running. Okay? And brethren, you know, Satan does not want us to run hard. Satan wants us to, in fact, run the opposite direction. He's going to send all kinds of temptations. This world is going to send us all kinds of distractions. And it's so easy to fall aside. It's so easy to get distracted. You know, the moment you give into that temptation, the moment you give into that sin, is the moment you've gotten off the racetrack and you've been distracted. You know, to run the race, we need to lay aside these weights. And I'm reminded when I look at, again, athletes, not that I watch a lot of this stuff, but and not that I really recommend it, but, you know, like if someone's going to swim, you know, they got to swim a race. You know, they got to, like the swimsuit they wear these days, that's why I don't recommend to watch it, because they're almost naked these days. But, you know, it's so skin tight. Okay, you say, why is it so skin tight? It's to prevent resistance. They want to swim as fast as they can. You know, even sprinters, they're mindful about the clothing they wear. Even those that ride bikes, you know, the, what do they call that, France one? The Tour de France. You see how these people, you know, the skin tight, again, it's not the greatest look, but, you know, and they've got the right helmets, you know, to prevent the wind resistance, right? They're trying to prevent any kind of resistance, any kind of distractions. They set that aside so they can go as fast as they can. It's the same thing, brethren. You know, if you're going to run this race, and you've got bags of cement on your legs or on your arms, you're not going to run very effectively. It's going to slow you down. And you've got to identify what is slowing me down from enduring for the Lord Jesus Christ. What is slowing me down in this race? And when you identify that which is slowing you down, you've got to get rid of it. Okay, and number one, of course, our sin. Our sin. You know, we are going to sin to the day we die. But that doesn't mean that we stop striving to live a holy life. Okay, sins are going to stop. Sins will get you out of the race, all right? And then you've got to go before the Lord and confess that before the Lord, get made right with Him, walk in His righteousness, and you're back on the race. But it slowed you down for a period of time. Hey, we should be seeking to have victory over the sins that stop us from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also said, laying aside every weight, okay? Anything that is stopping us from serving the Lord. And again, every weight is not necessarily sinful. There are so many things that are in this life that are not sinful in and of themselves, but they can distract you. They can stop you from running that race. You know, the thing that I think about the most, especially in this generation, is social media. Is social media a sin? It's not a sin. Okay, it's a tool of communication, but can it be a distraction? Can it be a weight that stops us from serving the Lord? Can it be something that we would rather look at? Would we rather check the Facebook? Would we rather check the YouTube rather than picking up God's word and reading it? And you know how it is. You start looking at these things. You know, now, you know, on YouTube, they've got these shorts. It's like 20 seconds. And you're like, oh, 20 seconds? I've got 20 seconds. You press that 20 seconds, and then it's finished, another one comes up. Well, that's only 30 seconds. Watch that one. Then it's 40 seconds. Then it's 15 seconds, 10 seconds. Before you know it, you've been there for an hour. Now, and you go, what am I doing? It's a wait. Now, was it sinful in of itself? No, of course it's not sinful in of itself. But it's stopping you. It's wasting your time from running the race that God has set before you. There's so many weights that we have. You know, sporting teams. Is there anything wrong with sports? No. You know, nothing sinful in of themselves. Hey, but you know what? There are some people that are so addicted, so in love with their sporting team, it almost becomes another religion to them. You know what? And they would rather watch their sporting team rather than being in the house of God. You know what? And look, again, there are sports that I like. I like soccer. I like basketball. I have teams that I would like to see win, but I don't care if they win or not. Really, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. But you know what? We have to be careful and understand there are things that we can enjoy in life. You know, we can enjoy sports. We can enjoy social media. We can enjoy even video games if you really want to. You know, things that, you know, just give you some downtime and some pleasure that aren't sinful in of themselves. But you have to remind yourself, these things can't stop me from running the race. You know, why did I not go soul winning? Why did I not be in church? Why did I not pick up my Bible? Why have I not prayed? You can figure out why, what that is. Even though it might not be sinful in of itself, you have to say, I have to lay that aside and prioritize the kingdom of God first. Amen. All right? So be careful. You know, be careful with the things that you allow to stop you. And, you know, the other distraction that I think about, in fact, actually keep your finger there in Hebrews 12, and please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Bible reads, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" Let me stop there. Brethren, we're all running this race. You might think, well, that's the pastor's race, or that's the evangelist, or the deacons, or, you know, whatever, the missionary's race to run. No, all of us. You know, you might still be at the start line. You go, I don't want to run this race. Well, if you're saved, you're there on the track. Okay, God has placed you there. We all run. Why do we run? It says here, but one receiveth the prize. Why do people go and compete? Because someone wants to be the champion. Someone wants to win. They want that prize. And brethren, the prize is not heaven, because heaven's a free gift. Okay, it's a gift. It's not of your efforts. But now that we are on our way to heaven, we want to be able to maximize the rewards that Jesus Christ wants to give us. We want to be able to maximize the prize. When we get to the finish line, for Jesus to say, hey, you've run well. Here's your prize. You've reached the finish line. We want to be able to maximize that prize. But then it says at the end of verse 24, so run that ye may obtain. So I don't want you to think for a moment, because I used to think this as a Christian, as a younger Christian. I thought, but one receive the prize. Does that mean only like some of us get rewarded? No. Okay? It's just saying that in a real world scenario, when you're running a race, there's one champion. There's one that gets the gold medal. All right? There's one that lifts one team or one person that lifts the trophy. But then it says at the end of verse 24, so run that ye, and remember ye is plural, run that ye may obtain. So it's not just one person that gets the prize. All of us are going to get the prize for the service that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we ought to be running with the mindset that there's a prize to achieve. This is why we have to overcome distractions. And one of the other great distractions that I've seen in my life, that I see sometimes even amongst my church members, is that we're distracted by a fellow church member. Brethren, we're not racing against each other. Okay? We all have a race to run. You put your head down. You put your eyes on the prize. Okay? Don't get distracted by other Christians. Don't think, oh, well, I went soul winning. Where was Sister So-and-so today? Where was Brother So-and-so today? Hey, I was at the 4th year anniversary. Where was Brother So-and-so? Brethren, don't have that attitude. It's horrible. It's horrible. Okay? I mean, I really despise when people are putting down their fellow Christians. Well, I'm running the race. Where's so-and-so? Forget so-and-so. There's one that wins a prize. This is your race. You run the race. You maximize your rewards. And as you run the race, guess what? You're going to be an encouragement to the person that you're worried about. But if you're just critical, you're not going to encourage them. You're going to discourage them. You're going to potentially get them out of the race. Brethren, we all have a race to run. Okay? I've got my lane. Brother Les, you've got your lane. All right? Brother Martin, you've got your lane. We've all got a prize. It's Jesus Christ at the end. It's heaven at the end. And let's keep our eyes on the prize. Run, and let's not get distracted. Let's not compare one another. We're all made differently. Different personalities, different strengths and weaknesses. Yeah? Different natural abilities. God has made us each different. So why do we compare each other? Why do we compare one man to another man, or one woman to another woman, or one child to another child, or one family to another family? It's horrible. I hate that attitude that I see in churches. You know, people that thumb up their nose at so-and-so, oh, they're not quite like us. Oh, they're not dressed appropriately. You know, oh, they're still struggling with sins. Yes, so are you. Okay? You know, I despise this kind of attitude that I see so many times in church, and I never want that to be something in our church, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want us all to be focused on the prize that we have to win. So, brethren, we have to overcome the distractions. Look at verse number 25. It says, and so 1 Corinthians 9:25, it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. I want to come back to that thought later on. Is temperate in all things, okay? Now they do it, so the worldly athletes, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. That gold medal is going to disappear, all right? That trophy, people are going to forget about it. Another team's going to win it next season, and that team will be forgotten, okay? It's a corruptible crown. It's not going to last forever, but brethren, the prize that we have at the end is incorruptible. It's going to last forever. Verse number 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. He goes, look, I run. I'm not uncertain about my race. He goes, so fight I, because, hey, we're also soldiers for the Lord Christ. Sometimes it's a spiritual warfare as well as a race. It says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. So he goes, look, when I run, I know there's a prize. hey, if I'm fighting, I know I'm not just fighting air. There's a real spiritual war taking place. He says, why? Because then it says there in verse 27, but, so this is what he does, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. What did I say earlier? This flesh does not run the race. This body needs to be brought under subjection. This body does not want to run. That's why we have to run in the new man. Okay, we have to submit ourselves to God's will, submit ourselves to God's word so we can run. And then it says there, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, Paul is very careful. He says, look, when I'm encouraging, when I'm preaching to others, when I'm preaching God's word, I'm reminding myself that I've got to keep my body under subjection. I've got to make sure that the preaching applies to me as well, that I'm making the changes, that I'm running the race. Otherwise, he himself would be a castaway. And again, I started by saying, there's so many pastors, so many men that I've looked up to that have fallen away. They've preached to others, but then they become castaways. Okay? What I'm trying to say is, brethren, you know, and I've got to be careful as well as a pastor. I'm preaching to you guys the importance of running the race, but I've got to run the race. Okay? It's so easy to preach to others and not make the changes that you need in your own life. It's so easy to look at other people. This is why, again, don't worry about others. It's so easy to look at others. But what about you? Are you running the race? Hey, what are the weights? What are the sins that you're struggling with? Hey, you fix yourself. You fix your family. Don't worry about other people. You run the race. You don't want to be someone that preaches to others and then you become a castaway. It's like, hey, what happened to this person? They were serving the Lord faithfully. You know, they were living for the Lord. And now where are they? They've gone into the world. They're living like anybody else, you know, and it's so sad when you see Christians, you know, get off the racetrack and fail. Why? Because they've been distracted. They've been distracted. And again, brethren, pastors fail. I hope I never fail, but I know I'm a man, okay? And it could happen, all right? These things can happen, okay? Again, we want to make sure that we're not, what's the word I'm looking for? We're not basing our race on a man. Okay, on just a man. In fact, that's one of my other points that I'll get to in a moment. But brethren, make sure you keep this body under subjection. Make sure you remind yourself that you've got a wicked flesh that does not want to cooperate with the words of God, does not want to run the race. It is part of that weight that is stopping you from running as effectively as you can. Now, I did mention earlier that it said there that in verse number 25, and every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Okay. And this brings me to my third point. But it says, my third point is basically this. Run with patience. Run with patience. And before I get into that point, I just want to quickly read to you from Galatians 6:7. You don't need to turn there. But Galatians 6:7 says this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh. And we've got to keep this body under subjection. We don't want to sow to this flesh. We don't want to give this flesh what it wants, brethren. Because it says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, that's the new man, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You see, brethren, if we give into this flesh, all right, the Bible says that we'll become weary in well-doing. You know, you're going to get tired of serving the Lord. It's going to happen. You're going to get tired of being in church. You're going to get tired of reading the Bible. You're going to get tired of hearing preaching, okay? And when you start to get weary and burdened and press low, and you start saying, man, this race, it's too heavy for me. I'd rather get out of this. I want you to understand why that's happening. It's because you've sown to the flesh. You've given the flesh what it wants. If you got a choice in your life, right? You got the flesh, you got the spirit, you got the old man, the new man. You've got to decide, I've got to walk in that new man. I've got to sow to the Spirit. And the more you sow to the Spirit, the more you're going to reap spiritual things. Things that are incorruptible. Things that will get you motivated serving the Lord. But if you just keep sowing to the flesh, the old man, and look, we all sow to the flesh, you'll never stop. Okay, because the flesh is there. But if you keep sowing to that flesh, the flesh will have what it wants. When God is asking you to run the race, when God is asking you to step out and do something great for him, the flesh is going to say no. You're going to reap corruption. All right, brethren? So please be careful about this battle, this race that you have even within yourself, this struggle. And when you find yourself just losing interest for the things of God, remind yourself, it's the flesh. And I need to set that aside. It's a weight that's stopping me from serving the Lord. So to combat that flesh, you've got to sow to the Spirit, to the new man. Okay? You just got to step out and do what God wants from you. You know, I've had people say to me, you know, what about when I just don't want to do what God wants me to do? What do I do when I there are things that God says, I just say, I don't really want to do it. What do you do? How do you do it? You know what the answer is? Just do it anyway. You know, I don't always have the will to do things that God wants me to do. But you know what? You just got to make that decision. Okay, well, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Okay? You know, I'm sure, thank God for many of you that went soul winning yesterday. But you know what? Did I really want to get wet? Did I really want to get my pants all, you know, uncomfortable and you know, get my socks all wet when I stepped into a puddle? You know, is that really what I wanted to? I didn't want that. Did you want that? Who wanted that? You know what God wanted? He wanted the gospel being sent to these streets. He wanted the gospel going to the lost. Brethren, there were 3 people saved yesterday. That's not nothing. That's amazing. 3 souls going to heaven. 3 souls that were on their way to hell yesterday and now saved and going to heaven. You know why? Not because we really wanted to. The flesh did not want to. But because we said, you know what? We're just going to do what God wants regardless of how we feel about it. That's how you run the race. It's not easy. Just do what God wants you to do. And you'll find that the more you do what God wants you to do, the more you're going to start to love what God wants you to do. You know, it's going to be easier every step that you take in this race that you're running. But brethren, my 3rd point was run with patience. Run with patience. My 1st point was you have witnesses cheering you on. My 2nd point was overcome distractions. My 3rd point is run with patience. Now, I really want this to be understood very well as well. Because it is a race. And when you think about a race, you think about, you know, you got to run as hard as you can, as fast as you can. And yeah, that's true for a sprint. That's true for a 100-meter sprint or something like that. But your Christian life is not a sprint. It's not 100 meters. It could be 100 years. Okay? It's your whole life. From the time that you're saved to the time you go home to be in heaven, brethren, it's a marathon is what it is. Okay? It requires patience. Okay, sometimes you can run hard, sometimes you can run fast, but sometimes you have to slow down. Sometimes, look, this is the Christian life, all right? There are times that I'm excited, there are times I just pick up God's word, and I'm just going through chapter by chapter, book after book after book, and I'm done reading the Bible because I'm excited. And there are other times that I'm like, man, you know, I'm in this book again, it's not that exciting, the genealogy, etc., and I might just take one chapter at a time, okay? And so you've slowed down. Okay, but sometimes you do have to slow down. You don't want to become weary in well-doing, as was said. Okay, your life doesn't have to be just constant. You know, you wake up in the morning and you're just singing praises to the Lord, and then you get up and you just go soul winning, and then you come home and you got to work, and you're like, man, I got church on tonight. You come to church and it's just constant, go, 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 go. If that's your life, you're going to burn out. A lot of these Christians that I've seen serve the Lord, they've burnt out. They've just done too much. One pastor that I spoke to that stepped down from the ministry just said I was doing too much. I burnt out. There were just too many activities. There were too many ministries. I just couldn't keep up. My body, my mind, my spirit just couldn't keep up with what my church expected me to do. And I just thought, well, why didn't you slow down? Okay, you've got to slow down. Look, I'm not saying go backwards. I'm not saying stop racing. Just slow down. Hey, still move forward. Still take one step at a time. Still continue to grow. You know, the Bible says, here a little, there a little. Okay? Sometimes, yeah, you know what? You get started, you're running hard, great. But then slow down. You know, it's a marathon. Marathon runners, they conserve their energy. They know when it's time to run hard. They know when it's time to slow down. But they don't stop. They keep going, even if it's just one step at a time. And brethren, again, this is important for you to remember because as other Christians are serving the Lord, sometimes you're going to get the thoughts in your head, well, I don't just serve the Lord as much as they do. But are you serving the Lord? So you say, yes, I'm serving the Lord. Then praise God for you. You're in the race. Okay? And you know, again, I've been saved since I was 4 years old, brethren. And there are times that, you know, I've just slowed down. I just wasn't as excited for the things of God. You know, maybe I just wasn't in a good church. I wasn't hearing motivating preaching or things that were getting me pushing me for the things of God. But you know, in my heart, I just always wanted to pick up God's word and just say, God, what do you have to teach me today? Just slow. Slow and steady. Isn't that a saying? Slow and steady wins the race. That's true. It really is true. And one of the biggest concerns that I have for newer Christians is the excitement that they initially have of being saved. And I think if you've been saved and you remember that excitement and you want to tell everybody about the Lord and you just want to, you probably just want to start reading the book of Revelation, the very first thing, because it's probably, you know, what's going to happen in the future. And you just want to go soul winning. You just want to get encouraged. And you know what? And you look at other Christians and go, why are other Christians serving the Lord? Like, well, I'm so excited. And I see that in new Christians, and I'm really worried when I see that, because they're very zealous. They're very excited. And I don't want to blunt that excitement. It's not like I want them to be less zealous. Hey, you know, they're running hard right now, praise God, but I know they're going to burn out if they keep going this way. And they do. They do burn out. You know, here I am serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and then I see these Christians just run past me. They're just serving the Lord. They're just doing great things, and they're running hard. And look, you know, great. You know, if you're able to keep that up, praise God. But then you see those same Christians just completely fall off the radar. Where are they? Where are they gone? What church do they belong to? Are they going soul winning? You know, are they reading their Bibles? Sometimes they become cynical, or they become critical of other churches, of other believers. You know, oh, you know, this has happened or that has happened, and so they're discouraged. And yeah, because you burnt out. You went too hard, too fast. Brethren, as long as you're taking one step at a time, this is not a race of speed. Okay? It's not a race of speed. Why? Because we all get saved at different times. You know what? Someone can be saved on the last day of life. The thief on the cross. Okay? Well, the moment he got saved, that was his race. That's what he had. It was a short race. He couldn't even move. But his story's in the Bible. His story has motivated so many Christians over the generations to get saved and to understand the simplicity of trusting Christ alone. We get saved at different times. You know, I had the blessing of growing up in a Christian home. Not all of you had that. I had the blessing of growing up in a home where my parents love each other. Some of you have grown up in broken homes, you know, non-Christian homes. You know, we can't all think that we're running the same race. Or, you know, look, again, being mindful. And running with patience, knowing when it's time to slow down, okay? Knowing when you're being stretched too hard. You know, for me, the travel between the states, you know, having 11 children, that requires a lot of work. I can't run as fast or as hard as a pastor that has all his children as teenagers, or maybe has one or, you know, a few kids. You know, I can't run as hard as that person because I've got other things to take care of. Okay, but it's knowing your limits. It's knowing how hard you can run, when you can run, and when to slow down. But it's, again, it's not about going backwards, it's not falling out of the race. It's just taking one step at a time, running with patience. As I said earlier in the passage that we read in 1 Corinthians, temperate in all things. That word temperate means to be in self-control, knowing when you get tired and slow down. You know, if you're doing a ministry in this church and you say, Pastor, I don't think I can continue right now. I need a break. Tell me, because I've seen Christians have mental breakdowns in church because they just couldn't continue doing the ministry that was placed upon them. You know, that's not one reason why we have a very simple church in that sense. Is number one, well, because we don't have a full-time pastor. But number two, I don't want to burn people out. I just want to see you guys taking one step at a time, small steps forward that are well-grounded, established, and strong, rather than taking massive giant leaps and then burning out. All right. Now, go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. The next part of this race, it says here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, look at this, endured the cross. Jesus Christ also had a race of endurance. He endured the cross. Brethren, so who are we to set our sights on? On Pastor Kevin as we run the race? As Brother so-and-so, as I said, the distractions that might come? No, you set your eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Who's going to help us finish this race? Who's going to get us to the finish line? It's Jesus. He also had a time of endurance. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, let's consider Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary, look at this, be weary and faint in your minds. Why do Christians get weary and faint? Like I said, they run too hard and too fast, but their eyes are not on Jesus. The fourth point that I have for you, brethren, is set your eyes on the pace setter. Set your eyes on the pace setter, okay? Have you seen races where there's usually one guy at the front and everyone's just trying to keep and maintain the relatively same speed as the guy in front, okay? And if it's a long race, they're happy for that person to be at the front. They know that they're conserving some level of energy and they're hoping to get to that point, to the front line at some point. Well, that pace setter for us as Christians is Jesus Christ. This is why we can't get distracted looking at other Christians. Our eyes must be on Jesus. Our eyes must be on Jesus. He also endured the cross. Okay, he suffered. He went through so much more anguish and pain on the earth than what you're going to go through. And Christ endured the cross for you, to set you an example that as you serve and live for Jesus Christ, you too can endure this race that has been set before you. But you've got to set your eyes on Jesus. Brethren, if Blessed Hope Baptist Church fails, if this pastor fails, you know what? It's going to hurt. It's going to discourage you. But when that happens, I hope it doesn't happen, okay? But if it happens to some other pastor, some other church, or some other person you look up to, you need to remember, my eyes are on Christ. I have to look at Christ. I told you about my first IFB pastor when I found out that he's destroyed his ministry. Brethren, I was hurt. Like, you know, I've never experienced shock, you know, where people might have a car accident and, you know, their body goes into shock. Well, that was probably the closest to shock that I've experienced. You know, when I thought about how my pastor, who I looked up to, failed so severely. He hurts. It's like someone took a knife and just stabbed it in my heart. And I had a hole, you know, and I was like, for a few weeks, just so miserable, so sad, thinking, how could my pastor fail in such a bad way? But at the end of that 2 weeks, I guess I was mourning to some extent. I don't know. It's hard to explain. But at the end of that, I just said, hold on, why am I so upset? He's just a man. He's just a sinner that's been saved by grace like I am. And then I reminded myself, oh, the reason I'm feeling so sad is because my eyes have not been put on Christ. I was looking at man. I was trying to be motivated and encouraged by man. And I learned my lesson in my mid-20s, hey, my eyes have to be on Jesus all the time. Amen. And I know this sounds horrible, what I'm about to say, but I kind of expect Christians to fail now. I expect people to, you know, give up on the Lord. I still expect pastors to fail. And when these happen, it's discouraging, yes. But you know what? I'm no longer miserable like I was that first time. Because I just reminded, well, that's man. And I'm just going to serve Jesus Christ. He's never going to fail. He's endured more than anyone else. And if my eyes are on him, the author and the finisher of my faith, then I know I'm going to continue to run this race. And so you find me these days anyway, at least as I've grown and matured in Christ, that very little discourages me in service for the Lord. Very little. I mean, it probably has to be something really close and personal, like my family, that might get me really upset and discouraged. But brethren, really, when I see people fail and I see conflicts in churches or problems, and you know what? My eyes are on Jesus anyway. I'm going to get to the finish line anyway, because Jesus Christ will never leave me nor forsake me. You know what? My eyes are upon him. And, you know, Lord, you can take care of the rest of the issues that pop up. I'm not going to get distracted. I'm going to continue running that race. And so, brethren, set your eyes on the pace setter. Psalm 118, verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. A prince is someone that has authority. Please don't put your trust and confidence in someone in authority. Okay, don't put your trust and confidence in the politicians. Don't put your trust and confidence in your pastors, in your religious leaders. Your trust and confidence must be on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, can you go back to Hebrews 12? I think you're there anyway. Verse number 4. Hebrews 12, verse number 4. So point number 4, brethren, was set your eyes on the pace setter. Verse number 4, it says, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. So remind yourself that you're children of the Heavenly Father. It says, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint." Hey, we want to endure. So we don't want to faint. We don't want to give up. It says, "Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Brethren, you are going to be rebuked by God. Okay, you're going to be chastened by God when you walk in your own ways, when you commit sin against him, when you don't fulfill his will in your life. You are going to face the chastening of the Lord. But we're reminded in this passage here not to faint when this happens. Rather, it says in verse number 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." So brethren, when you're facing the chastening of the Lord, remind yourself, God loves me and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know, we've all been corrected by the Lord. We've all faced difficulties because of our sins, and God has stepped in and brought that rod of correction to chasten us. It says, "God dealeth with you." Verse number 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Look at verse number 7. "If ye endure chastening." Hey, that's what we're trying to. It's a race of endurance. Guess what? When God chastens you, you've got to endure that. Okay. "When ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Point number 5, brethren, in order for you to continue to endure, is you have to appreciate correction. You have to appreciate it when God steps in and corrects you. Okay? And it doesn't feel good. I have to chasten my kids from time to time. It doesn't feel good on their bottoms for them. It doesn't feel good for me as a father. I don't like to inflict that kind of pain when I have to correct my children. And you know what? But when you endure it, okay, this reminds us that God loves us. Okay? Look at verse number 10. It says, "For they verily," speaking of heavenly, earthly fathers, "for they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." What's going to help you endure the chastening of the Lord is reminding yourself he's doing it for your profit. God does not want to destroy you. He wants to correct you so you can grow, so you can mature. Brethren, endure the chastening of the Lord. You know what? It's not nice when you go through it, but when you're facing it, learn to love it. And say, "Thank you, God, for correcting me. Thank you, God, for loving me as a child. Thank you, Lord, because I know this is going to profit me. I know this is going to bring me more holy, closer to you. You know, more like Jesus Christ, so I can run the race more effectively." See, God, our Father, he wants us to reach the end line. He wants us to have the maximum prize. And brethren, when we deviate, just like any sporting event, just like any race, there are rules, aren't there? There are rules. You know, in soccer, there's offside rules. In soccer, if you go and you foul your opponent, you'll get a yellow card. And if you do it again, you get a red card. And you break the rules. Like someone steps in, corrects you when you commit a foul in whatever sporting events. Same thing in the Christian life. You're running the race. There are rules. This is the rule book. Run according to God's commandments. When you break his commandments, God will step in, give you that yellow card, maybe a warning. You know, he'll give you that time of mercy to get things right. Sometimes it's that red card and he's going to have to pull you out and fix you up for a while. But it's for your profit. It's so I can get you back on the race and you can run more effectively than you have in the past. So point number 5, brethren, is appreciate correction. Can you please turn to James chapter 5? James chapter 5. Again, stay there in Hebrews. Actually, you don't need to stay there in Hebrews 12 anymore. But James chapter 5 and verse number 10. James chapter 5 and verse number 10. James chapter 5 verse 10 says, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience." So this is why we have so many great stories in the Old Testament, is that there are prophets that have suffered. They've gone through the suffering, right? But they suffered it with patience. Verse number 11, look at this. "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. And the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Brethren, I don't look from, besides the Lord Jesus Christ, when we think about a human being in the Bible who's suffered the most, I think most of us would agree Job suffered the most. He lost it all. He lost everything that he had. He lost his children as well. Okay? And what? The Lord allowed him to go through that suffering. Okay? But what did we see in verse number 11? Behold, we count them happy which endure. You go, I don't know, Pastor Kevin. Going through hardships, going through chastisement, going through problems and persecutions, it just brings me down. No, if you endure, you're going to be happier than you've ever been. God's going to do a great work in you. That maturity, the patience, the ability to go through more hardships, the ability to be an example, the ability to run harder than you've ever run before. God uses problems, trials, tribulations, okay, to mature you, to make you a better runner, to profit you. And brethren, if you endure, if you don't give up, you're going to end up happier. You're going to have a happy life. Brethren, that's what I want. I just want a happy life. I don't know about you. I don't want to live 100 years and just be miserable every day of my life. I'd rather live 20 years and be happy every day of my life. And in that 20 years, whatever God gives me, right? I mean, I'm 42 now. God gives me another 5 years. Hey, if I have 5 years of happiness, then it's all worth it at the end. Because I got to enjoy life. I got to enjoy the experience. I got to enjoy the race that God has set before me. And so, brethren, part of that, of course, is appreciating the correction when God sends it your way. Okay? So don't give up when going through difficulties. Endure it. Get through it. See what God wants to develop in you when you get to that end line there. All right. The next point that I have for you, brethren, is, where can I get to turn to? Can you please turn to Ephesians chapter 2? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Point number 6, the final point for the sermon this morning. And, one of my old pastors had a saying that I liked a lot. And because it is a hard life. Living a Christian life is hard. And we know about the spiritual warfare. We know that we have so many enemies. And we have a fight to, fight. We have a battle to fight, right? And he would often say, my old pastor, he would say, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. We fight from victory. Meaning that we're already victorious. We've already won. You know, if you're saved, you've already made it. Okay? The Bible says in 1 John 5:5, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. Brethren, we've already overcome the world because we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We've placed our faith upon him. What I'm trying to say, brethren, point number 6, is that as we run this race, we need to run as reigning champions. Run as though you've already won. You've already been victorious. Sometimes when I see these interviews of sporting teams that have won like a championship, the next thing is like, we just want to win that again. We want to prove that we can win it a second time. And so they go out the next season as reigning champions. They've got that title. They know they're victorious. They've already proven themselves. Well, brethren, it's the same for us. We're already victorious because we're in Christ Jesus. Okay, he's already done the race. He's already endured the cross. He's done everything necessary for us to be home in heaven. You know, I'm not discouraged when I see this world become more wicked. When I see the filth in this world. Because I remember, Revelation. New heavens, new earth. The millennial reign of Christ. I get to rule and reign with Christ. We win, brethren. Did you know that? Amen. Have you ever read the end of the Bible? We win. Okay, we win. We get to spend eternity with the Lord God forever. We overcome the flesh. We overcome death. We overcome sin. All in the power of Jesus Christ. We're already victorious. And reminding yourself of that is that, hey, we don't fight for victory. Okay, we fight from victory. We're reigning champions. So run like reigning champions. Okay? Run like reigning champions. Ephesians 2:5. You're there, I believe. Ephesians 2:5. It says, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. So for these are for those that are saved. Look at verse number 6. And hath, this is present tense, okay? And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Brethren, you're already in heavenly places. You're already in heaven. And so, oh, no, I don't think I am. You are because you're in Christ Jesus. Okay, Christ Jesus is in heaven, and because you're in Christ Jesus, you're seated in heavenly places already. Your place is set. You've made it. You've already won the race, brethren. So show everybody else that you're a winner. Show everyone else that you're a champion, that you love the Lord, that you know you've won the race. And run with that attitude. Not running, oh, I don't know if I can make it. You've made it already. Now get to the finish line and show us how hard you can run. Because you are the reigning champion. You've got the power of Christ to get you to the end. You're victorious already. You're in heaven already. Okay, I mean, obviously, from time's perspective, in the present tense, we're not there, but spiritually we are. As far as God is concerned, we've already made it. Okay, so run as a reigning champion. Now, can you please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6, just in conclusion. As Paul is writing to Pastor Timothy here, it, you know, appears very much so that Paul is coming to the end of his life. You know, probably the Lord has revealed to him that you're not going to live much longer. And it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." Blessed, brethren, why are we called Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Why are we called that? Because we love his appearing. We want to see Christ come back. Okay, we want to be with him in the clouds at the rapture, receive those resurrected bodies, to see how God will change this earth for the righteousness of Christ. So can't wait, brethren, to be in the clouds, for the loved ones that have gone before us, the brethren that we read about there in Hebrews 11, and all the Christians that have gone before us, we're all going to be caught up together in the clouds, the blessed hope to come. Okay? And brethren, if you've got that joy, you've got that joy to reach the finish line, to see Christ in the air, hey, he's going to reward you. He's going to give you that crown of rejoicing. All right? And to all of them that love his appearing, the crown of righteousness, okay? And so we ought to be excited to reach that finish line, to see Jesus Christ in our new resurrected bodies caught up in the clouds. But notice what he said. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Brethren, we've got a race to run, okay? You don't finish it until you go to be with the Lord, okay? You don't finish it until you go to be with the Lord. And again, I want you to receive maximum rewards. I want you to endure. Christianity is not easy. Being saved is the easiest thing in the earth. Okay? Because Christ has done all the hard work. Okay? Salvation is free. It's a free gift. Going to heaven is the easy part. But running the race, that's the hard part. Running the race, the flesh gets in the way. The world gets in the way. The devil gets in the way. Okay? We don't set our eyes on the right thing. Okay, we're not ready to run. We've got the weights, we've got the sins, we've got all these problems that stop us from running. Brethren, we need to make sure that you remind yourself, I want you to endure. I don't want you to give up. You know, I want to see you again in 10 years and know whether you're in this church or not in this church, that you're still serving the Lord faithfully. You know, you're still running that race. You're still fighting that fight that God has put forward before you. You know, I want to see a reigning champion. I want you to know that you have victory in this earth. You know, who cares, you know, if you don't make a great name for yourself? Who cares if you don't have the great career and the great riches and the great prosperity that this earth offers you? Brethren, the prize at the end, that's incorruptible. Anything that you earn on this earth is corruptible, okay? So make sure that you set the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So brethren, just in conclusion, the race of endurance, the 6 points I had for you this morning. Number one, remind yourself that you have witnesses cheering you on. Number two, overcome distractions. Number three, run with patience. Number four, set your eyes on the pace setter, that is Jesus Christ. Number five, appreciate correction. Number six, run as reigning champions. All right, let's pray.